Good evening, everyone. Yeah, I'm jet lagged right now, so I'm trying to figure out what time. my family and I left California 9 o'clock, I'm sorry, about 5:30. Yesterday we got on the road, and we've been driving, been on planes, have not gotten any rest, really, to this point. So, as I'm up here speaking, please do pray for me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is a pleasure to be able to be here with you today, and I want to just share with you, tomorrow morning I will be sharing my testimony. If I can get that, my volume turned down just a little bit. I'll be sharing my testimony with the youth tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I believe it is. And only youth are allowed. Okay, that's the bad news. But the good news is that youth will be anyone under 100 years old. So, providing that there is space. So, I would like to speak to you today about a subject I've entitled The Oil Crisis. The Oil Crisis. And I want to let you know that there are many, many people that are talking about the oil crisis today. Have you heard it? Yeah? It's quite amazing as we think about how oil is having such an effect upon our society today. So I just want you to be prepared. Prepare your hearts, because we're going to speak about something that is crucial for God's people to understand in these last days. Amen?
Amen?
Pray with me, if you will. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne asking, Lord, for a portion of your Spirit to be poured out upon us. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As I began to be intrigued about this subject of the oil crisis, I began doing some research, and I found out some very interesting things about the oil crisis. You may not have known this, but there are 98 oil-producing countries in the world. Did anybody know that? Okay. And of those 98 oil-producing countries, it is said that 60 of them have reached their geological peak, meaning that they are now decreasing in their output of oil. And, everybody's talking about this inevitable crisis that we will face as a world. And there's something here that we need to understand. You see, there are certain indicators that we can look at to know that we are in an oil crisis. Number one, it is said that when demand begins to exceed supply, we know that we are headed for a crisis. You know what happens when demand exceeds supply? What happens? The prices get higher. And I believe that's when chaos is really going to begin to hit. When things begin to get too expensive, or we know that we're in a crisis because as prices increase, so does crime. People resort to all kinds of things to get what it is that they think that they need. We also know that we're in a crisis when we see travel becoming more difficult. Has anyone tried traveling lately? You know, look at the price of an airplane ticket, or the price of, you know, just going across country. I mean, travel becomes severely limited when this oil crisis hits. And number four, we know that we're in a crisis when we hear people speaking about alternative sources of energy. Have you heard people talking about that? Alternative sources of energy. What are we going to do? How are we going to replace this precious substance of oil? Well, I want to let you know that I believe that God's people need to be prepared for this crisis. Amen. And this may sound far out, but I want to let you know that I actually believe that God's people, those who are not prepared to meet this crisis when it really unfolds, will end up being deceived. Will end up receiving the mark of the beast. And you say, Pastor, that's, you know, how in the world can you connect the oil crisis and what Adventists are going to go through in the last days? Well, just in case you thought I was going to bore you with talking about the kind of oil that everyone else is talking about, I want to let you know that that is not the crisis that Seventh-day Adventists should be focused on. You see, the Bible speaks about this oil crisis, and I'd like for you to open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their," what, everyone? "Lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no," what? "Oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.'" How many of you see the crisis? Amen. Amen. The Bible says in verse 9, "But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I propose to you today that the oil crisis that the world is focused upon is not the crisis that God's people should be focused upon. The oil crisis that God's people should be focused upon is the one spoken of in the book of Matthew chapter 25. This is the crisis that should concern us as a people. And if this be the case, then it would behoove us to know just what this parable is talking about and just how we can be prepared for the coming oil crisis. The question then is this: what is the oil? What does this oil represent? I want you to turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27. And notice with me, if you will, verse 20. Exodus 27 and verse 20. The Bible says, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn," how?
Always.
"To burn always." What is the purpose of oil according to this verse? It is to cause the lamp to burn always. I want to share a little secret with you. Did you know that God wants you to burn? And did you know He wants you to burn always? God wants you to be on fire. He wants you to let your light shine. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is so that that can be on a continual basis. So we begin to see then that the issue with the five foolish virgins is that they run out of oil, which means they run out of fire. Go again with me to the book of Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah the fourth chapter. We're going to take a look at verses 4 through 6. Zechariah chapter 4. Verses 4 through 6. In fact, why don't we start with verse 1. The Bible says here, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereof, and seven pipes to the lamps which are on the top of it, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of it. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? The angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my" what? "Spirit, saith the Lord." So get the picture then. These two olive trees are emptying olive oil into the lamps. And then the question is asked, what are these? And the angel says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. What is he indicating? That the light burned because of what? God's Spirit. So then we might rightly say that this oil represents the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Why is the Holy Spirit given to us? I want you to notice with me John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. The Bible says here, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in" what? "Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The purpose, the reason why God gives the Spirit to us is because there is only one way that we can truly get to know God, and it is through his Spirit. The Spirit of God is given to us so that we might know Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
So, I want to read to you a statement from Sound of the Times, October 31, 1900. Ellen White says this: "For all who desire to follow him," that is Jesus, "his example is left on record. Prayer sanctified his ministry. Strength and vigor for daily duty are derived from worshiping God in the beauty of holiness. The lamp must be filled with holy oil before its light can shine amid the moral darkness. Did you catch that? She says, look at Christ's example. Christ was a shining light. How did he shine? He had oil. Where was the oil? Where was the oil given? It was in his time of prayer. Prayer is how we worship God. It's our worship time. Let me read it again. The lamp must be filled with holy oil before its light can shine amid the moral darkness. Do you get the picture? She says Christ's example was that prayer sanctified his ministry. So he would go in secret, he would pray, and then he would go out and what? Shine. So then, we know that we're in a crisis when demand begins to exceed supply. I want you to understand the time is coming when demand will exceed supply. Desire of Ages, page 636. Everything in the world is in agitation. The signs of the times are ominous. Coming events cast their shadows before us. The Spirit of God is withdrawing from the earth. Are you with me? Are you sensing the crisis? The oil is becoming scarce. The Spirit of God is withdrawing. Thank you. The Spirit of God is withdrawing. The crisis is gradually stealing upon us. This is why Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. We know we're in a crisis because soon demand will exceed what? Supply. We know we're in a crisis because crime is on the increase. How is crime on the increase? Beloved, the Bible tells us that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax what? What's the opposite of cold? In other words, beloved, listen to me. We know that oil is becoming scarce when the love of God is not present in the church of God. When we see fighting and bickering and hatred and envy and all these things happening in the church, when we see people coming to church and vowing never to talk to another church member, we know that we are in an oil crisis. Does anybody else out there sense the crisis? We know we're in a crisis because the love of many is waxing cold. Ellen White says in Desire of Ages, page 309, many take it for granted that they are Christians simply because they subscribe to certain theological tenets. But they have not brought the truth into practical life. They have not believed and loved it. Therefore, they have not received the power and grace that come through sanctification of the truth. Men may profess faith in the truth, but if it does not make them sincere, kind, patient, forbearing, heavenly-minded, it is a curse to its possessors, and through their influence, it is a curse to the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you can have light all you want, but if you don't have the oil, you're in trouble. Your light will go out. We know that we're in a crisis when we see travel being affected. You say, Pastor, travel being affected, what are you talking about? Listen to me. God has given this church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a mission to take the gospel where? Into all the world. And to get into all the world, you need oil. God's people are getting burnt out. Oh, no, you didn't catch that. You can't travel if you don't have oil. God's people we know we're in a crisis because the three angels' messages has not yet reached the whole world. If 12 people could turn the world upside down in their time, and now how many Adventists do we have? God's people are in an oil crisis. And point number four, we know that we're in an oil crisis when we begin to hear talk of alternative sources of energy. What can we do to substitute for the Holy Spirit? How about music? That's a good substitute. You know, what can we do to entertain our kids? What can we do to make it feel like we have the Spirit? Are there not any alternative forms, sources of energy? I will answer you from the book Gospel Workers, page 254. Prayer is the breath of the soul. It is a secret to spiritual power. No other means of grace can be substituted. No? Do I need to read that again? Yes? Okay, I'll read it again. No other means of grace can be substituted and the health of the soul be preserved. Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life and strengthens the sinew and muscle of the religious experience. Neglect the exercise of prayer or engage in prayer spasmodically now and then as seems convenient, and you will lose your hold on God. The spiritual faculties lose their vitality, the religious experience lacks health and vigor, and then she says, it is only at the altar of God that we can kindle our tapers with divine fire. What is it that sets a person on fire? It is their prayer life. Beloved, that oil represents our relationship with God through the Spirit of God. If you do not have a connection with God, you're in an oil crisis. And so, I've just spent some time letting you know that we're in a crisis. It's now time to talk about the solution. What is the solution to the crisis? I need a specific word for the solution to this crisis. Okay, I'm going to take a sip of water first and just enjoy this moment. The solution to the crisis is to drill now. Yeah. What do you mean, Pastor? The solution to the crisis is this. God's people need to no longer be satisfied with a shallow experience. It is time for God's people to drill and to drill now, to go deeper in their experience with God, to go deeper in their experience with the Word of God. It is only by drilling and drilling now that we can be prepared for the crisis to come. There is no other solution. We are told in Heavenly Places, page 347, there are strong temptations before us, sharp tests. The commandment-keeping people of God are to prepare for this time of trial by obtaining a deeper experience in the things of God. Are you satisfied with a shallow prayer life? Are you satisfied with a shallow study of the Word of God? It's time to drill. and drill now. Are you with me? The question then becomes, Pastor, where do we drill? Oh, what a beautiful thought this is. What a beautiful thought. Before we get to where we drill, I want to share something else with you. I want you to notice something. Jesus, being our example, overcame at Calvary. Amen? That was his crisis. But there is something interesting about how Jesus won the battle of Calvary. He did not win the battle of Calvary at Calvary. Where did he win the battle of Calvary? He won it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Are you with me? In other words, beloved, listen to the point here. Jesus filled up on oil before the crisis hit. Many of us are waiting for a crisis to hit and then we'll fill up on the oil. Beloved, please listen to me. I sure that you know, it's amazing. How many of you have heard of the rapture? Of course. Do you know how the rapture theory goes? I remember being out in the world and I would hear, you know, people talk about the rapture, and I wasn't a believer at this point in time. And I remember saying to myself, you know what? If I ever see people disappear, then I'll know that God is real, then I'll get ready. Anybody ever said that before, being out in the world? Yeah, some of you said it. I said, you know, that's crazy. But just in case people disappear, then I'll know it's real, and then I'll get ready. And as Adventists, we laugh at that, but I want to tell you that we have our own version of that. Sunday law. When I see a Sunday law, then I'll know that all that I've been hearing was actually going to come to pass. Then I'll get ready. Then I'll get my life together. But until then, beloved, listen to me. When Sunday law hits, it is then too late to get the oil. It is time to get the oil now before the crisis hits. Famous warrior and general Sun Tzu said this: the victorious warrior wins first and then goes to battle. Defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. Did you catch that? The victorious warrior wins first and then goes to battle, while defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. Could it be, beloved, that the reason why we lose so many of our battles is because we did not fight the battle where the battle should have been fought? You don't train in an actual boxing match. You train before the match. This is what Satan is trying to lead God's people to do, to not worry about it. Don't wait till the crisis hits and then try to get ready. So the question then becomes, where do we get this oil? And the answer is amazing. I want you to notice with me Exodus 27. Exodus 27, the verse we had mentioned a little bit earlier. Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20. Exodus 27, verse 20. Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. Question, where was the oil to come from? According to this verse, it was to come from what? An olive. What kind of an olive? A beaten olive. A beaten olive. A bruised olive. A bruised olive. A bruised olive. Come on, are you thinking with me? Isaiah, he was what? Bruised for our transgressions. Beloved, it is through the example of Jesus Christ being bruised for us. And by the way, let me ask you a question, if I might. Where did this bruising of Jesus begin? All right, before the foundation of the world, amen. But in a very literal sense, it began where? In Gethsemane. Anybody know where Gethsemane is located? It's in a place called the Mount. In fact, Gethsemane is known as the olive press. Beloved, Jesus, there as he is praying and agonizing, the Bible says he began to, as it were, sweat great drops of blood. Jesus was having a prayer experience, beloved, the kind that you and I need in order to prepare for the final crisis. We must be pressed like Jesus was pressed. We must learn to agonize as Jesus agonized. Youth instructor, here's what Ellen White tells us. September 1, 1873, the olive groves were his sanctuary for prayer. There, secluded from every human eye, he communed with his heavenly Father. His moral powers were strengthened by his meditation and communion with God. Do you get the picture? Can you see why were the olive groves his place, favorite place of prayer? Could it be that he was trying to send us a message? If you want to burn, you need oil. Where do I get the oil, God? You need to be in communion with me. That is where you get the awe. You need to drill. You need to go deeper in your prayer experience with me. And when you commune with me in this way, you will come out of that prayer on fire. You will come out as a shining candle. It's interesting. Ellen White says in Desire of Ages, page 734, she says this. It was not only on the cross. I'm sorry, she says this, the blood drops of agony that from his wounded temples flowed down his face and beard were the pledge of his anointing with the oil of gladness as our great high priest. So she says that oil that came from him was like, it was symbolic of the blood that came from him was symbolic of the oil. In other words, it's as though the blood and the oil represent the same thing. Beloved, listen to me. When Jesus said, except a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he has no life in him. I want you to understand something carefully. Is it possible to eat the flesh and yet have no life in you? What do you think? Of course it is. Why? Because the life of the flesh is where? Is in the blood. So you can eat the flesh all you want, but if you have no blood, you have no what? Life. So here's a question. What is the flesh? When Jesus said, except you eat my flesh, what does the flesh represent? It represents the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So get the picture then. I can study my Bible backwards and forward, but if I don't have the blood, I have no what? Life. So the question is, what is the blood? Hear me, beloved, listen to this. This is amazing. You see, blood, the purpose of blood is to sustain life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. What does blood do? Blood moves in a cycle in the body. So that all you need to do is ask yourself the question, what was it that sustained the life of Jesus while he was here on earth? What was his life? What was his blood? Have you ever heard someone say something like, basketball, it's in his blood? What does that mean? It means that he loves it so much that without it, he could possibly what? Die. He lives, sleeps, and breathes it. So the question is, what was the blood of the Lamb? You know, that we always say he overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb, by the word. What is the blood by which we're to overcome? It is communication with God. Listen to me, beloved. Every time Jesus would speak to his Father, imagine it like a cycle, if you will. Jesus speaks, and his words are going up to the Father, and the Father hears and responds, and the words are coming back down, and you have this perfect cycle of communion. Communion. And you know what's amazing about that? Is that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying to his Father, for the first time, Jesus would send words up, and what came down in response? Nothing. The blood flow was being what? Cut off. And Jesus begins to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Beloved, have you ever sat on your leg for an extended period of time? What happens when you do that? Do you want to know why God's church is asleep? Because the devil is cutting off the blood flow. Are you with me? He is cutting off the blood flow. He is sending spiritual blood clots into the system. Entertainment, so that when I go down to pray, what I see is the movie I just finished watching. I can spend 2 hours watching a movie, but about a minute praying. The devil is cutting off the blood flow, and he is doing this successfully. Beloved, it's time for God's people to realize that we are in a crisis, and the blood flow must continue, must begin to flow again if we want life coming back into our spiritual limbs. We are in a crisis. So, we know the solution. It is to drill, and to drill now. It is to pray as Jesus prayed. The question I have now is this, very simple. How did the wise get wise? And I will give you the answer. The answer is this: the wise went to school. You don't look terribly impressed? The wise went to school. I like how Ellen White puts it. She calls it the school of Christ. Do you realize, beloved, that every day you get up, Jesus has a roll call? You remember that? Remember when you went to school? Remember roll call? Thomas, here. Tina, here. You remember that? Imagine with me, if you will, Christ is a divine teacher. He wants to teach us how to be filled with oil. He invites us to come to his classroom. That classroom is our prayer time. It's the olive groves. Remember, that's where Jesus learned. That's where Jesus got his wisdom. That's where Jesus learned to commune with his Father. And so he says to us, come on, I invite you into my classroom, prayer time. But what happens is that when Jesus makes roll call, often we respond what? Absent. Now, how many of you, in preparing for a test, thought that you would pass the test having missed class like every day of the week? Come on, think about it. Would you ever go to, you know, oh, we got a final coming up. Okay, you know, whatever. I'll just, you know. Hey, Tom, take notes for me. Beloved, you cannot get someone else to take notes for you in the school of Christ. You have to be there yourself. Thomas, sleeping. Come on, think about it. The wise are wise because they went to the school of Christ. They sat at his feet. They learned of him. They were preparing for that great graduation picture. You know the anybody ever take a graduation picture? You know, they tell you to sit and pose. Do you know that? Do you know that the wise are studying to be able to take their graduation picture? You say, what graduation picture? Ellen White says that Christ is waiting, is longing with great desire to see his image perfectly reproduced in his people. And when that happens, he will come. Beloved, I want to be in that great graduation ceremony where we're standing on a sea of glass mingled with fire and we take off those graduation crowns, amen, and cast them at the feet of Jesus. How many of you would like to be there? Beloved, listen to me. Your parents may have said it to you often. Stay in school or you'll be a fool. A fool. What is the difference between the wise and the foolish? The foolish skipped school. The foolish said to the wise, take notes for me. And when the final hits, they're like, can I see your notes? And Ellen White tells us that character cannot be transferred. Beloved, you know what happens when you skip school? You go to summer school. You don't want to go to this summer school. it will be hotter than anything you have ever experienced. Don't skip school. Beloved, listen to me. The foolish virgins make the same mistake that Lucifer made in heaven. You see, beloved, the oil crisis, it really began in heaven. Do you remember what Lucifer was called? The anointed cherub. What do you anoint with? Oil. He was the anointed cherub, but the Bible says that he began to trust in his own brightness. Man, look at my light. I know a lot. I don't need this oil thing. Look. How many Adventists are saying, I know what the mark of the beast is. I know who the Antichrist is. I know what day of the Sabbath is. I know what's unclean and clean. I know all that. Prayer. I got it. They're making the same mistake. Consider tonight, where are you? Are you a wise virgin or are you a foolish virgin? The time is coming, beloved, when there will be no more oil. Oil will no longer be available. The four angels will be seen standing on the four corners of the earth. They will let go, the winds will begin to blow, and at that time, we will see the crisis hit in an unspeakable way. And listen to what happens. Matthew 25, verse 9, where we're wrapping this up. Matthew 25 and verse 9. I want you to notice what happens here. Matthew 25, verse 8, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." You see, it is at this time that supply or demand exceeds supply. The five wise say, "No, we don't have enough. You have to go and buy for yourselves." Let me ask you a question. The five wise virgins tell the five foolish virgins to go and buy for themselves. Is this good advice or is it bad advice? Huh? It is bad advice. It is bad advice. You say, "How is that, Pastor?" Listen. You see, at this time, probation has closed. The five wise virgins don't know it, and neither do the five foolish. So the five wise virgins aren't giving bad advice. "Oh, let's lie to them." No, they think, you still, you know, come on, what are you doing? Go. But by this time, beloved, it is too late. Listen to me. In order to buy or sell at this time requires you to have what? The mark. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. And listen to this. So, the five foolish virgins go to buy oil. What are they going to buy? Remember, the oil represents our relationship with God through the Spirit. So now when it is too late, they're going to now try to get a relationship with God. But there's a problem, because as they're going to buy this oil, little do they realize that it is foreign oil. You see, beloved, at this time, there's a cry that's going out all around the world. "Lo, the bridegroom has come. Lo, the bridegroom has come." And this dazzling being will appear. And you say, "Well, Pastor, that's not going to have any effect on these wise Adventists, because they know better." But listen to me, beloved. Here's what's going to happen. You see, when the five foolish virgins go out to try to get a relationship with Jesus Christ, when it's too late, they're going to buy oil. Who is it that sells the oil? It is Jesus. They're going to try to get a relationship with Jesus. But listen, what will happen instead is that they will see Antichrist and think that it is Jesus. Seventh-day Adventist, Pastor? Yes, Seventh-day Adventist. How is that possible? Let me tell you how it's possible. Because you may look at me and be able to say, "Oh, that's Pastor Myers." But if all of a sudden I shut those lights off, listen, beloved, the five foolish virgins will be like, "Oh, that looks like Jesus." But they can't really see because their lights have gone out. It looks like Jesus. He talks like Jesus. Come on, let's go get a relationship. And beloved, Seventh-day Adventists who knew the truth will be deceived because they had no oil. Do you want to be found looking for foreign oil? Beloved, drill while you have time. Listen to me. We're wrapping it up. In Matthew 25, the Bible says that the five wise virgins went in and the door was shut. What event is that? It's the second coming. The bridegroom comes, and the five wise virgins go in, and the door is shut. That is the second coming. So listen then, when the five foolish virgins are knocking on the door saying, open up to us, when is that? Beloved, that is at the end of the 1,000 years. The five foolish come up in the second resurrection, and they're looking into the city, and they're going, wait a minute, something's wrong here. We're not supposed to be looking into the city. Our Bible studies tell us that we're supposed to be looking out of the city. Lord, open up to us. It seems like you've made a mistake. We're not supposed to be up here in the second resurrection. It's us. Lord, it's us. And what will Jesus say to them? Depart from me. I never what? Knew you. We did not have a personal relationship. Beloved, we're in an oil crisis. And I propose to you a solution. It's time to drill. And to drill now. If it is your desire tonight to say, Lord, I have been satisfied with a shallow experience, please, I pray, take me deeper. Let me not leave this camp meeting the same old way. Take me, Lord, deeper in an experience with you. If that's your desire, I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for doing all in your power to see us saved and to see us prepared for this coming crisis. Lord, forgive us for our shallow experience. Forgive us, Lord, for skipping class. Lord, may we have a new desire to seek you while you may be found, to drill, to go deeper in our experience with you. You said through your prophet that those who speak to you in truth will speak as a friend talks with a friend. And you said that our hearts would burn as you draw near to commune with us. Help us, Lord, to sense your spirit and your presence, that our hearts may indeed burn and burn always. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayer. In thy precious name, we ask these things. Amen.